And here we go on this Wednesday, September the 5th in the year of our Lord 2018. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel. And did you notice I did not refer to this as Insight Wednesday? Why? Because beginning today, we are doing a new venture here on Law and Gospel. What happened was a congregation approached me. They have a Bible study on Wednesday mornings at 9:30, but they did not have a pastor to lead them in the Bible study. So guess what they're doing? They're taking this program, listening to it for a half hour, 9:30 to 10, and then continuing their discussion on the basis of what I have to say from 10 to 10:30. So normally on Mondays, we do the pericope lessons, one of the lessons from the following Sunday. On Tuesday, a hymn with Mark Smith. A rumination Thursday with Wes Reimnitz, where he's chosen the topic diversity among religions in the United States for tomorrow. And then open mic Friday. But we are changing now Wednesday from Insight Wednesday to Bible Study Wednesday. What I'm going to be doing is doing a Bible study, and it can be from anywhere in the Bible. And if you have a congregation, maybe you don't have a pastor, your pastor is busy, and you would like to have a Bible study during the week, all you do is you make it for 9:30 in the morning on Wednesdays, and then you go ahead and you set up a computer. You don't have to be near St. Louis. You can be in Arizona, California, Florida, or Asia. And you go to the computer and have some speakers attached to it, and you can hear me for about half an hour. Now, we're really going to start working on this. I've got tons of emails, and I'm going to be addressing congregations if they would like to be part of this. If you're at all interested, you can email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. So, Insight Wednesday, and a lot of times on Insight Wednesday, I talk about other things besides the Bible, like events that are occurring in the country or the world. And we're going to reserve that now for Pastor Reimnitz on Thursdays and maybe pick some of that up on Open Mic Friday, which means that beginning this week, we now have a Bible study for congregations, and the people can gather around, and you can even email me as to maybe a particular passage that you would like to take a look at, and we'll give some consideration to that. By the way, I'm also doing the Sunday school lesson from Concordia Publishing House with Issues, Etc. Normally that's on a Tuesday between 3 and 5, but this week they're on vacation a little bit, so I'm not going to be doing it till Friday. But on Friday, I think at 3 o'clock, you'll be hearing the Sunday school lesson. So, Issues, Etc. on issue. I'm sorry, Law and Gospel on Issues, Etc. will be doing the Sunday school lesson each week, and then the adult Bible class is going to be available Wednesdays at 9:30. This would be particularly good for congregations that don't have pastors or would like to have another Bible study, and I'm only too happy to do that. The congregation that's listening today is a 300-mile round trip, and so you can understand why I'm not going there, particularly since I'm on the air at 9:30. So we'll see how this works. The text we want them to look at is Mark chapter 7. This is, of course, one of the readings for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. And so I'm not going to be preaching on this particular item for this coming Sunday. But there are so many things you can talk about with the readings because there's four of them. Old Testament, the Psalms, the epistle, the gospel. This is the gospel for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. So you will need a Bible. So the congregation, and it really doesn't matter which Bible, there'll be no problem with that. And by the way, if you have questions, you'll be able to email me at longgospel@longgospel101.com. And I will always begin the Wednesdays with answering the questions that I receive from the previous week, if there are any. So without further ado, Mark chapter 7, beginning with verse 24. And if you heard my promo, this was the question. Jesus did miracles. Who told the people not to tell anybody about him? And of course, the answer is quite a surprise. Jesus himself. Can you imagine having a verse here where Jesus says, telling them, don't tell anyone about this, and having that verse on the top of your church door? So that seems like a real contradiction. Didn't Jesus come to share the message? Well, let's take a look at Mark 7 to answer that. From there, he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, I will be always reading from the ESV, but as is my custom, I like to bring in the original Greek sometimes in order to help you. So Tyre and Sidon were areas that were not that much Jewish. A lot of Gentiles lived in those areas. And interesting, the very first verse we're looking at, verse 24, and he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. Now, why would Jesus not want anyone to know that he entered a house? It would be like me going to another city, and maybe I'm preaching at a congregation, and afterwards members want me to come over and visit with them, and I say, I'll be glad to do that as long as you don't tell anybody I'm at your house. No. That would not be the way I work, because I want people, maybe who have questions of a theological nature, maybe to be visiting with me. I'm often asked when I go to congregations if I would go out to dinner with them, and I always say no. I do not like having a meal while we're talking business or the Bible. And it's a very simple reason. Because I don't have time to eat then. When I go out to eat, I like to really enjoy myself. So we go out with some close friends, and we're talking about maybe the baseball Cardinals or something along those lines. But if I'm going to have a meeting or such, I like to have it in the church, around a table, where people can maybe even write down notes and such. Why would Jesus not want anyone to know? Jesus is a human being. That means he gets tired. In fact, there are a number of times in the Bible when he goes on up on the mountain to pray alone, where he's divided from his disciples. Remember that one time he leaves them, and then they get in a boat, and it's almost drowning, and they suddenly see him walking on the water coming towards them. So he wasn't with them initially. And remember at the feeding of the 5,000, we're going to get into this a little bit more as to the reason why he fled from the people. Well, this shows how human Jesus is. You see, if God wanted to remain hidden, nobody would find him. So he entered a house. He did not want anyone to know. Yet he could not be hidden, because the word got around real quick, Jesus is in town. And his reputation really followed him. Verse 25, immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. So an unclean spirit, demonics, And what does she say? The woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth. Okay, so here's one of the occupants of the city, one of the citizens, who is not Jewish. And she begged Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. Now, we know a number of other times where people came to Jesus. A man, you know, was on a cot, and they opened up a roof, and four of his friends lowered him to Jesus. He healed him immediately. I mean, there are a number of times where he healed immediately. What does Jesus say to her? Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Wow. I mean, when you ask somebody to read the Bible, does this become a key verse? Jesus saying it's not right to take children's bread and throw it to the dogs? Or would John 3:16 be more appropriate? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. You see, this is why people have trouble reading the Bible. There appear to be so many contradictions in the Bible, and from a law gospel point of view, C.F.W. Walther, at the beginning of his lectures many years ago to the seminarians, began with the notion that there is no book ever written that appears to have more contradictions in it than does the Bible. So, we have this picture of Jesus being very compassionate, wanting to love people. And he looks at her and says, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. This is why Mark makes clear the location Jesus is at and why he references the woman as a Gentile. She's not Jewish. Now, why would Jesus say something like that? Let the children be fed first, and that, of course, would be those of Israel. For it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, here's where the English is correct, but can often give a bad opinion. Because when you read dogs, I mean, how many times have you heard someone say, yeah, I went out and I had a date with this person, but either he or she, they were a real dog. That is not a compliment. And so when you read this and throw it to the dogs, boy, it doesn't sound very nice. She answered him, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Now, you should understand right away that in many languages, there are different words for the same animal. So, you can talk about a cow, and you can talk about a calf, you can talk about a bull, and everyone's pretty well going to know you're talking about the same animal. Well, in the Greek, the word Jesus uses for dogs is one that is used in the context of a dog that is a pet in the family's home. And so, why does Jesus say what he does? Jesus is always challenging people to see why they're saying what they're saying. We've got two situations that I'm having in my mind right now. In Mark chapter 10 and Luke chapter 10, the one is a rich man, the other is a lawyer, and they're asking Jesus, what must I do to be saved? Jesus doesn't take much time to realize that they're there to trick him. And so, to both of them, he points to the commandments. The one thinks he's obeyed it since youth, and the other one doesn't think he has to be nice to Samaritans. So, both of them leave Jesus without much happiness. But you see, Jesus is recognizing this. So, I believe that there are others in the house, and the woman is falling down at his feet, and she wants her child healed of the demoniac. So Jesus is testing her to see what is her reason. There was another occasion, if you'll recall, where Jesus feeds 5,000 people. And he has to flee from them because they want to make him a bread king. They've got the wrong understanding of his miracle of feeding the 5,000. Jesus himself says that. You saw the miracle, but you missed the sign. You thought it meant I'm here to be a wonderful king in the wrong kingdom. Not the spiritual kingdom, but the temporal kingdom. And so they followed him because they wanted food and they maybe get rid of the Romans, all this kind of thing. They missed the kind of Messiah he is. But this woman doesn't. She first refers to him as Lord and then says, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And by that statement, she is putting herself in a humble place that she also should be able to receive, even if she is a dog under the table, because she's the pet of the family. And Jesus replies to her, for this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. Remember how many times in the Bible Jesus says, somebody asks for healing, your faith has saved you. And what is that faith? I mean, sometimes they don't even say something to Jesus. You have that one instance with the woman who just touches his garment. And Jesus feels that. Who did that? The disciples say, the people are pressing all over you and you're asking who touched your garment? But she was healed of the issue of blood immediately that she had. So faith receives plenty of benefits. The thing I would do if I was doing a sermon on this is we ask Jesus for many things that he could provide us. But sometimes he answers in a way that may surprise us. And this would be a situation with this woman. How many times have you wished that, you were around people that had the flu and you pray to God, I hope I don't get it. And then you get it. And you're wondering, well, I pray to God, but you see, God's testing you. Do you still trust me? Remember, I told you nothing will happen to you that doesn't work out to your good. Well, he returns from the region of Tyre. We're down to verse 31. And goes through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. Now, here there is nothing Jesus says to test the man, but he does do something. Takes him aside from the crowd privately. Now, you would think if Jesus was trying to make the point that he was the Messiah, wouldn't he want to do everything publicly? But he takes him aside from the crowd privately. He puts his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha. By the way, that's not Greek, that's Aramaic, which means, and Mark translates for us, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Now the next sentence is again a twister. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. Wow. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. You see, if Jesus used his divinity in charging them to tell no one, their lips would have been sealed when they tried to proclaim it. But here again, we show and see the humanity of Jesus. He has desires as a human being, does not use his divine authority to make sure they're followed. And the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. In fact, they were astonished beyond measure, it says, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Wow. Guess where that's spoken of? It's in the Old Testament, where when the Messiah comes, the blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, the mute will speak, and there will be those who will be risen from the dead. But why did he charge them to tell no one? You need to remember that at the time of Jesus, Judaism, which was a different religion than the Old Testament Israel one, because at the Babylonian captivity, the temple was destroyed. They weren't able to do sacrifices. So they turned to a reading of the law and a proclamation that you were saved by what? By your obedience to the ceremonial law. Remember that Pharisee? Thank God I'm not like that tax collector, because I tithe. You know, I fast. He thought his obedience to the ceremonial laws made him right with God. Salvation by works. So they believed the Messiah was going to come. I'm talking about Judaism. And destroy the Romans, get rid of them, restore Israel back to its former grandeur, and do all these wonderful miracles, giving people all the food they wanted, etc., etc. When people saw Jesus healing, and I've already given the example of the feeding of the 5,000, they jumped to the wrong conclusion, many of them. Not all of them. We've got Jesus, when he is taken to the temple by Mary and Joseph, you have both Simeon and Anna who understand properly who Jesus is, the Messiah, who has come to take away the sins of the world by his suffering. Remember, a sword is going to pierce Mary, and that's referring to the cross, of course. So the reason, therefore, he took this individual who was deaf and had a speech impediment aside from the crowd privately is that he did desire to heal him, but he understood that the people would jump to the wrong conclusion. Since his death and resurrection and ascension, we now have plenty of information of why he did what he did, including the miracles. The miracles were never given to a people. They were not really possible to change a person's mind and say, "Oh, here's the Messiah. This is the one who's going to save us." What saved them is hearing the message that Jesus said. And the fact is that this man with a deaf and speech impediment believed in Jesus properly. Now, they were astonished. He's done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Notice they didn't continue and say, "And he's coming to die on the cross." In fact, what happens when Jesus finally tells his disciples that that's his purpose for coming to earth, to suffer and die on the cross? Peter says, "Oh, no, 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 I will protect you." Jesus' response, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You see, he explains after the feeding of the 5,000, the people did not understand the true meaning of that. Because if you go to the Old Testament, Jesus is the new manna. He is the bread of life. You receive him, you live forever. So, Mark 7, that's our study for today. I hope the congregation who's listening will take an opportunity to maybe talk about it afterwards. And if there are any other congregations interested in becoming part of a Bible study, email me if you have a question or a suggestion of what we will be talking about. But no longer will Wednesdays be Insight Wednesday. It's Bible Study Wednesday. But tomorrow is still Rumination Thursday, where we're going to talk about diversity of faith and religions in the United States of America. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.